This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. It's 7:35. In a ceremony at the state capitol yesterday, Noble Energy presented two state community and technical colleges with a $250,000 donation to expand a program that prepares workers for the natural gas drilling industry. Ashton Mara has more about how education officials hope the funds will help attract students to grow the state's workforce.
Well, we typically start off the day with group discussion and what we're going to do that day.
Vincent Fusco is a 20-year-old Clarksburg native. A 2012 graduate of Robert C. Byrd High School, he tried his luck at the typical college life and attended West Virginia University. But Fusco quickly found out that wasn't for him, like many of his classmates at the Appalachian Petroleum Training Center.
All of us learn much better hands-on. We can read about it in a book, and we will review it and the safety procedures beforehand. But the second that we go down to that lab and we apply that, we all know how to do it. We're all confident that we could do it in the field.
Instead of spending 4 years listening to lectures, Fusco chose the two-year associate's degree program in petroleum technology offered at Pierpont Community and Technical College in Fairmont. Pierpont, as well as Northern CTC in Wheeling, hosts the Appalachian Petroleum Training Center, offering hands-on experience for students in preparation for work in production, service, and drilling in the Marcellus Shale industry. One of 14 programs nationwide, Governor Tomlin announced Wednesday on behalf of the training center they'd soon be expanding, thanks to a sizable donation from a U.S.-based drilling company.
Today, I'm pleased to announce a $250,000 donation from Noble Energy to further advance workforce development programs.
A one-time donation to the schools to purchase new training equipment, offer students scholarships, and amp up recruiting. Noble Energy drills in the Marcellus Shale region of West Virginia, creating 150 jobs over the past 2 years. U.S. Onshore Region Senior Vice President Gary Willingham says 85% of those jobs were filled by local workers. By 2018, though, Willingham says his company intends to double the number of drilling rigs they have in the region and wants to ensure they'll have the workforce to do it.
This program helps build and sustain the pipeline of trained, skilled graduates who will be prepared to work in this industry, in this region, for many years to come.
Chancellor of the State Community and Technical College System, James Skidmore, says the system began training students to work in the natural gas drilling fields in 2006. But the Appalachian Petroleum Training Center took their ability to prepare workers to another level. Working with almost 20 gas companies, he says they were able to design a program that not only helped the industry, but also helped the state.
Our main interest in developing this program was to give the oil and gas companies in North Central West Virginia and the Northern Panhandle a skilled workforce, but we also want to give the opportunity to West Virginians to enter the high-wage jobs that the oil and gas industry offers.
And those high-wage jobs are exactly what attracted Fusco to the program.
Excellent. I personally know way too many people getting out with a four-year degree and not making very much money, and I know many of people in the oil and gas industry with a high school education making more money than them.
Fusco says he's already got drilling companies calling to offer him jobs, and he's still got 2.5 semesters to go. With such a high demand for workers already and an industry that's only expected to grow, Tomlin says partnerships like these between education and business will help grow the state's economy, providing jobs for West Virginians. Fusco says he believes that growth, particularly in the Marcellus Shale industry, is real and will allow him to stay right where he wants to, at home in North Central West Virginia.
I won't leave West Virginia. I have no desire to leave West Virginia, and I don't need to leave West Virginia to work.
For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:39. Partly sunny skies today. Temperatures will be in the 50s and 60s. The National Weather Service is reminding residents that there is an enhanced fire danger into early this evening. Gusty winds ranging from 20 to 30 miles per hour and low relative humidity today will combine with dry brush and natural debris to create an enhanced threat for the spread of wildfires across portions of West Virginia this afternoon and early this evening. West Virginia fire laws prohibit outdoor burning evening between the hours of 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. A chance of rain enters our forecast tonight. Overnight lows in the 30s and 40s. Rain continues on Friday and Saturday. Temperatures ranging from the 40s into the 60s.
Support for West Virginia Public Radio is provided by State Electric Supply Company, your full-line electrical distributor. Online at stateelectric.com.
As the deadline for signing up for health insurance under the Affordable Care Act approaches, audiences in the Eastern Panhandle will have the opportunity to view the issue of health care through the one-man play, Mercy Killers. As Cecilia Mason reports, the actor who wrote and performs the play was inspired by a real-life experience.
The main character in Mercy Killers is Joe. He's from Southeast Ohio, works as an auto mechanic, and is libertarian in his political views. Michael Milligan, the Juilliard-educated stage actor, wrote the play and has been performing it for about a year now. Milligan says when he was younger, he had insurance, but had not given much thought to the issue of medical care. Then he was in a relationship with someone who needed a lot of care.
It was thrust upon me, the reality of how difficult it is for many people to get the care that they need. And it became apparent to me that artists as a demographic are a group that have been marginalized by the healthcare system because of the nature of the work being sporadic and being, you know, an individual contractor, stuff like that. So we spent several years just trying to stay afloat.
In the play, Joe's wife has cancer and loses her health insurance, and the couple struggles with paying for the treatment she needs. Milligan has done readings of Mercy Killers and has performed it steadily for a little over a year now in several states and at the Edinburgh Festival in Scotland, where it won the Fringe First Award for New Plays. All the while, the heated national debate over the Affordable Care Act and its implementation raged on.
I remember during that weekend, you know, when the shutdown was happening, which was about Obamacare, I was performing it in an open garage in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, sort of spilling over into the sidewalk on a Saturday night as people were walking by, going to meet their friends at bars and stuff. I was there kind of doing it in the open air, and people stopped and listened and, you know, really got the sense that, oh, this debate is still going on, you know. And so that was interesting. That was interesting.
Milligan says the play doesn't take a position on Obamacare, but tries to remind people about why something had to be done to address problems in the healthcare system.
You know, I think it's important as the discussion continues, that people reflect and remember back, oh, this was why this happened. Yeah, people losing their insurance at the moment they need it most was really a immoral condition that was going on. And however we move forward, we need to remember that and not go back to that situation.
Milligan hopes the audiences who see the play leave with raised awareness and are willing to take another look at the issues surrounding the healthcare system.
From a wider point of view that includes their humanity and their sense of human empathy and their hearts. Yeah, because I think that the thoughts that people have about it change then when they realize, oh, these are real people this is happening to.
Milligan will give 6 performances of Mercy Killers in Morgan, Berkeley, and Jefferson counties Friday through next Wednesday. For a list of shows, visit our website at wvpublic.org. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Cecilia Mason in Martinsburg.
Next week, Huntington Prep will get the chance to play for a national championship for the first time. Clark Davis has the story.
Since being founded in 2009, Huntington Prep has not been able to play in the end-of-season championship tournament because of a lack of affiliation with a state organization, the West Virginia Secondary Schools Activities Commission. But the guidelines have changed this year, and Huntington Prep will play in the 2014 Dix High School National Basketball Tournament Championship. Huntington Prep, along with seven other schools, will take part in the tournament that runs from April 3rd to April 5th. Head coach Rob Fulford says the team feels like the selection is deserved.
I think as a team, we felt that we've deserved to be in the tournament. I think we've proven that we're one of the top teams nationally year in and year out. And for us to be able, you know, to finally participate in, it's just a lot of pressure right now. You know, we've kind of lobbied to get in for a couple years, and you know, now that we're in, you obviously want to go up and play well.
Huntington Prep was picked as the 4th seed and will play the 5th seed La Lemire School out of Indiana. They'll tip off in the opening game of the tournament Thursday, April 3rd at noon. The first two rounds of the tournament will take place at Christ the King High School in Middle Village, New York. The championship game will take place at Madison Square Garden, home of the NBA's New York Knicks. Fulford says there's pressure to be successful, especially since Huntington St. Joe's Prep wasn't able to participate the past 2 years.
Now, there is some pressure for us because I think there's a lot of expectations of what we're going to bring to the tournament. But I think us and La Lemire, the 4 and 5, that's probably going to be one of the best games of the tournament. And unfortunately, it happens in the first round. So, you know, we're looking forward to it. You know, hopefully we can progress through the tournament and just play well. That's all you can ask.
Huntington Prep wrapped up its regular season March 2nd in a win at home over Legacy Charter, a school from South Carolina. Fulford says the month layoff does present some interesting issues in preparing for the national tournament.
We gave the guys a week off after our last game. Then we had a week of conditioning and weights, just individuals. Then they had a week of spring break, and so now we have them in for a full week, and you know, we'll practice next Monday and Tuesday and then get on the road.
Fulford says he's trying to relay the message that guys on the team should not let the moment pass by without realizing it's a rare opportunity to play for a national championship.
This might be the only opportunity these guys get to actually play for a national championship. I wanted to put it in perspective because when they get to college, that may be their only chance. I think that kind of hit home with them to understand that, you know, that it may hold some weight. And so I think it will start to hit them as it gets closer.
The games will be televised on the ESPN family of networks. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Clark Davis in Huntington.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. We're interested in your comments. You can send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. Follow us on Twitter at @WVPublicNews and find us on Facebook. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ben Aduccio. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.